Do please turn to page 967. Our reading is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11 on page 967. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall I pray for us as we come to God's word? Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have it in front of us now. Help us as we look at this passage of the Bible to understand what is going on, and as a result, to see Jesus more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as Caroline mentioned earlier, in the last 3 weeks, we've been working our way through Psalm 51 as we travel through Lent together, and as we reflect on our need for Jesus. And following Psalm 51, we're now going to spend the next 2 weeks in Matthew chapter 4. We join Jesus here near the start of Matthew's gospel, near the start of his active ministry. And if you look just before our passage, Jesus has just been baptized. And it's almost seems no sooner has he come up out of the water that verse 1, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or to be tested. Whatever's going on here, it's clear that this is part of God's plan. He leads Jesus into the wilderness. There's a purpose here. And in his baptism, as Jesus comes up out of the water, he's identified as God's Son. And now, straight away following that, we have Jesus' first real test of his ministry as the Son of God. As I mentioned that word, test, our mind might go back and shivers go down our spine at the thought of the different tests that we might have experienced or endured in our lives, maybe as simple as, well, they're not simple, are they? Driving tests and however many tests that we took to get through our driving test. Maybe it takes you back to school or college, or maybe you're at school or college and preparing for tests and wished I hadn't mentioned it. But it's not just the kind of more formal tests, but we face tests every day, don't we? In the more informal way, the challenges that we go through. And as we face those tests, some we come through, some don't go so well. And so here for Jesus, the question is, how will Jesus fare in this test? We're told, verse 2, he fasts, he goes without food for 40 days and 40 nights. It's where we get our period of 40 days for Lent. And so at the end of these 40 days, we're simply told, end of verse 2, he was hungry. Now that's an understatement for you. And so the tempter, verse 3, the devil, comes and tempts Jesus with three temptations, three tests. Three temptations that are testing Jesus as the Son of God. Testing his relationship with and his trust in God his Father. Three temptations where, did you notice Jesus points us back to the Old Testament every single time? Wants us to recollect something that happened in the first half of the Bible. Three temptations where Jesus shows how Israel were similarly tempted and yet failed. And so as he heads into the wilderness, the question is, will Jesus, the Son of God, also fail? We're going to look at the first two this week. We're going to save the third one for next week and round it off. And these first two that we see, I wonder if you notice as it was read out, both as the devil tempts, both of them start in the same way. The devil says, if you really are the Son of God. The devil's kind of raising doubts, almost saying, come on then, Jesus, really? We've seen what happened in your baptism, that's impressive, but if you really are the Son of God, surely these things won't be hard for you. Surely you can show it and do these things. And yet, the clever devil is showing, look, if you really are the Son of God, surely you can do this. And yet in these temptations, as we'll see, it's temptations to work against God his Father. To break that relationship he has with his Father. So let's get into those temptations. Here's the first one. We see the temptation not to trust in God's provision. The temptation not to trust in God's provision. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Look, at first, it doesn't seem an unreasonable request. There's nothing wrong with bread. Bread's a good thing. Jesus needs it, 40 days of fasting, and so the devil kind of says, look, there's no need to be hungry anymore. Just change the stone. Surely you've got the power to do that, right? And we see elsewhere in the Gospels, he can do it. He does have the power. Later on in Matthew, he takes a small lunchbox and miraculously provides for thousands of people. So what is going on? Well, we've already noted it's God's purpose to take him into the wilderness to be tempted. God has a purpose for Jesus through this. And so in God's purpose, he will provide for Jesus. He will feed Jesus at the right time. We see that right at the end of the passage in verse 11. The angels come and attend to Jesus. And yet here the devil kind of arrows in, focuses in on that very physical need of Jesus at this particular point. And says, look, Jesus, you can do it yourself. There's no need to trust in God, in his provision or his timing. Look, you're the Son of God. Just take matters into your own hands. Meet your own needs. And yet Jesus responds, verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We see from the footnote, that little B at the end of verse 4 takes us to the footnote at the bottom of the page. He's quoting here from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which speaks of a time when Israel were wandering through the wilderness. 40 years they were wandering through. A time when they were called to trust in the Lord to provide for them. And yet a time where time and time again, they failed to trust in the Lord. And so by quoting this verse, Jesus is saying, look, I trust in God to provide for all my needs, for all my physical needs. Here is Jesus facing the same test in the wilderness and so showing Israel how it is done. Showing a continual reliance on God and his provision. Obedience to his plan and his word. You see, as Jesus comes as the Son of God, Jesus comes with power. And yet as he comes with power, we see throughout his ministry, he doesn't come to serve his own needs. Jesus never used his power for his own gratification or just to impress others. No, he comes for the benefit of others, to serve others, not himself. And so here, where he can be tempted to serve his own needs, no, he trusts in the provision of his Father. I wonder here that this doesn't just point back to Israel in the wilderness, but it points back to another event in the Old Testament, another time when people were tempted by food. Wonder if you can think what that might be. As you go right back to the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil over food, even though they had every tree to eat from. Just one command from the Lord. Just one tree not to eat from. And the devil, the tempter, gets in there. God's saying, trust in my good provision, in all that I've provided for you. And the devil says, really? Did God really say that? You can't trust God. He's just holding things back from you. And so Adam succumbs to the temptation, takes matters into their own hands, and eats from the tree. And so as if you were to journey through the Bible, you'll see the consequences of that first sin throughout the pages of the Bible and throughout the pages of history. And yet here is Jesus. And as he's tempted by the devil, tempted by food, tempted to question God's provision, where Adam failed, where Israel failed, Jesus did not fail, but trusts in the provision of his Father. I don't know, for some of you, maybe during this Lent season, maybe you've gone and given something up. Maybe it's food, some kind of favorite food for you that you've given up. Someone in our household has attempted to give up chocolate for Lent. It was unfair in house group on Wednesday night when people who brought the snacks brought, those Toblerone truffle bites. Oh, man. I mean, that's temptation. Look, you might have given up certain food for Lent. The temptation, as you see it in the cupboard, just to have a little bit, miss it so much. Maybe you've given up something else for Lent. I worry sometimes if the giving up of something can be a bit trivialized. Oh, why don't we take the challenge? And yet the purpose behind it is it points to something so much bigger. Lent is to point us to these events. Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days, giving up food, a process of self-denial so that he might throw himself on the Lord to provide. And so Lent is a time of self-reflection, as we've done through Psalm 51, and self-denial so that we might lean on the Lord and trust in his provision. And so whether that's through food or whether that's through any other way, it's a time where we can remember we enjoy God's provision in so many ways. And so I wonder for you, What areas it might be where you could be tempted to doubt God's provision. Tempted to kind of take matters into your own hand and say, well, if God's not going to deliver on this, I'll just act myself. We'll all know how easy it is to succumb to this kind of temptation in whatever a walk of life it might be for you. Here is Jesus Christ. Fasting for 40 days. Imagine, just try to imagine how hungry he will be. and Jesus at his most vulnerable. How easy for Jesus in his humanity to succumb to this temptation and yet trust in his Father. Jesus knows to trust him, his timing to provide. Jesus resists the temptation not to trust in God's provision, but the devil doesn't stop there. He tempts again. And so in this second temptation, we see the temptation not to trust in God's care. Not to trust in God's care. Verse 5, the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, there it is again, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Look, if the first temptation seems understandable, he's hungry, so tempt him by bread. This one seems a bit random. Who would be tempted to throw themselves off a building? And it's almost like the devil's kind of seen Jesus' tactic in quoting scripture back at him. So he goes with the same tactic. Did you notice the footnote? The devil here quotes from Psalm 91. A psalm that speaks of God's wonderful care and protection. Surely that will be true of the Son of God, right? So let's put it to the test, the devil suggests. Let's see if God really does care for you. Throw yourself off and surely he'll provide angels to catch you. It's almost a bit like a mother reassuring her child of protection. Look, I'll be there for you. I'll always be there for you. I'll always protect you. And so a child putting that to the test, jumping from the climbing frame, expecting mum to be there, right? And notice the link with the first temptation. Jesus rejected the first temptation because he trusts in his Father to provide. And now he's being tested by that very assurance. But Jesus responds again, verse 7. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, quoting scripture back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Again, referring to Israel as they're wandering through the wilderness, complaining they've not got anything. Complaining that God's brought them out here to die. Why would he? Does he even care for us? Again, highlighting a time where Israel failed. Grumbling, complaining against God. And yet here in the wilderness, Jesus says there is no need to test God. No need to doubt or question his goodness to care. It's interesting that whereas Jesus responds, he doesn't object to the devil's use of scripture. Doesn't say don't use that, but does show how the devil has applied it in the wrong way. You see, God's promises to care and protect, they're not there for us to kind of test. Not there for us to kind of manipulate God in order to act so it serves our needs. God promises to care. And rather than question God's care or test God's care, Jesus trusts God's care. And as I read this week, it was such a challenge because whilst I like to think as I read about the Israelites' failings in the Old Testament, and I love to think, oh, I'd never be like them. Doubting God's provision, doubting God's care, I'm much better than that. And yet as I face pain or difficulty or when suffering comes into my life, whenever there's something that isn't going according to the plan that we've set for our lives, right? That wasn't meant to happen like that. Well, then can be the kind of knee-jerk reaction to doubt God's care or God's love for us. To grumble and complain. What are you doing, God? Where are you at? But look at Jesus when he's tested. No hesitation in his mind. No hint of him succumbing to this temptation. No hint of him putting his Father to the test. And it's not just here, is it, in Matthew 4? As you read through his life in the Gospels, you see the challenges he faces, the tests he faces as he's betrayed by his friends, rejected by his own people, stripped and nailed to a cross of wood. As he dies, taking on the full anger of God, anger at humanity's rebellion against him, and yet still he trusts in his Father's care. What were some of his last words on the cross, as Luke records it? Into your hands I commit my spirit. Trusting in his Father's care, never putting it to the test. And wonderfully through that faithfulness of God, of Jesus Christ, wonderfully through it, we can all benefit from it. Salvation offered to every single person who trusts, even though we fail. Look, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Maybe you're here and you're currently going through the Christianity Explore course going on Tuesday evenings at the moment. And you're working through Mark's Gospel, or you come to here and there's a question in your mind going, oh, look, what makes this guy Jesus so special? Why is he any different to any other person? Why would it make Christianity any different to any other of the world's faiths and religions? Look, as we see him here in the wilderness, as we journey through him through a gospel, notice his absolute moral perfection. No human being can come close to the type of life that Jesus led. Every single other person has succumbed to temptation at one point or another. But Jesus doesn't. He lives the perfect life. So don't make the mistake of kind of passing Jesus off as just another human being. The Gospels don't even give us that option. The Christian claim is that he was a perfect human. Keep exploring him, because he changes everything. Or maybe you're here and you are someone who trusts and looks to follow Jesus Christ, and yet you read these verses and you fully relate to temptation. You feel like every single day there's a battle with temptation in some way or another. And so in Jesus, we do see a glimpse of how to arm ourselves in the face of temptation. Notice Jesus' responses every single time to arm himself with God's word. That's Jesus' instinct reaction as he faces temptation. And so as we let God's word feed us, know God's good provision and care for us. And yet we fail. And so be encouraged here. I don't think this passage is primarily to teach us how to resist temptation, but more to show us that we will fail when we face temptation. And so points us to the one who has never failed. And not just here in Matthew 4, but throughout his life, through the challenges he faced, at the climax of his life, when he is wrongly arrested, when he is beaten and tried, and he is sentenced to death, he remains faithful. And so as we go through our days and our weeks, as we face temptation, will we look to the one who faced temptation and never failed? Will we look to the one who not just never failed here, but through his life went to the cross and died so that you and I may enjoy wonderful relationship with God our Father, even though we failed. As we travel through this Lent season, as we approach Easter next month, let's keep looking to Jesus this Lent time. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Thank you that in these verses in the Bible, we see the one who resisted the temptation not to trust in your provision, resisted the temptation not to trust in your good care. Lord, as we face temptation, Lord, as we fail in temptation, help us so quickly to lift our eyes and to see the one who remained faithful to you. And may we rejoice in his faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.